Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for the way you express that to us, Father, in the many ways you show it, sometimes through blessings and sometimes seeming through pain, but yet it's all for good, Father. We thank you again. We just ask that you'd be with us this morning, that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you would help us be grounded in this love, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us be faithful to you. Lord, that you would give us wisdom in the many things that we come across in our lives, situations, and help us see your way, Father. Give us wisdom and words to speak this morning that we might hear you speaking, Father. Again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. We ask your blessing on this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Well, again, just want to thank you. Thank the Lord for all that he's done for us. It's just good to think and remember of his mercies and to be thankful. Be grateful for what he's done. This morning we're going to read in Matthew 25, but I want to quote a verse from Matthew 7. It says, "Be the light of the world." And I was sent a verse this morning, a quote Brother Wilbur mentioned about thanking God for the light. And I sent a quote this morning that said that it's by Francis of Assisi. It said, "All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of one candle." And we just look at this world and we look at the things around us and all the darkness. We see the religion, the darkness in so much religion. But yet, all the darkness around can't put out the light of one candle. The darkness can't hurt light. It's there. It's still there. It's still shining. And no matter how dark the world gets, it still can't put the light out. And that is a blessing. The darkness, the obscurity, how dark it gets, and yet it's that darkness can't hurt that light. And the darkness, maybe the Bible talks about a darkness that's so dark that they can't see the light, that the light can't be seen, but it's still there. And that's what I want to just talk about this morning, about some of the different things that, mainly the light, is just how that when Jesus was here, people had the Bible, people had religion, they had all kinds of things, but Jesus talked about following the light. And that's mysterious, and that's a little difficult to nail down. But whenever Jesus told the Pharisees, he said that, he talked about the blasphemy. And I don't believe it was the blasphemy because they didn't understand words. It was because they were quenching the Spirit. They were failing to follow the light that God had given them. And when you don't follow that light, it doesn't matter how much so-called truth you have, or so much doctrine and so many straight things you have, you don't have anything. Marcus talked about the love, to be rooted and grounded in love. And then he talked about the church that Jesus rebuked, and he said, "You've lost your first love." And that's I can just imagine, they had everything right. And people have speculated about what this means and what it meant. What's your first love? Well, to be rooted and grounded in the love of what God wants for us, and just how easy that is, just overpowered by a doctrine or by doctrine or by having things straight. And pretty soon the focus is how you believe instead of believing, or how you have all things figured out instead of just acting out or living. Francis of Assisi, also one of his quotes was a command to preach every day, and sometimes even have to use words. But his teaching was just to make sure you're out there preaching everywhere you go, just preaching everywhere you go. And sometimes you might even have to use words. And that's just, I want to turn here to Matthew chapter 25, like we said. I want to read this. Verse 31, Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Stop right there for a moment. This, I just want to, this is Jesus talking. This is not just some doctrine. This is the Lord Himself telling about the judgment day. We have a lot of speculation. We understand about the judgment. We hear about it and we have all our doctrines and all of our things figured out, and that's what I want to bring in here is that right here is what it is all about. And this is the Lord describing to us what it's going to be about. You know, we can have, there's people that have, I've got a note here that just talking about identity Christianity, and everyone has their identity of what type of Christian they are. They have the denominations, and everybody has a little bit of different flavor, a different this or different that. You have groups that talk about born again. There's born again Christian. It's a tag. It's an identity. And there's a group that people that talk about the identity crisis in Christianity. And there's a group that talks about the identity in Anabaptism. And they're trying to figure out their identity. Where are we? Who are we? And all kinds of different doctrines and all kinds of different things. But look what Jesus is focusing on here. He's trying to show us something here. He's explaining something in very plain words. And He said, when the Son of Man, when I come back, this is how it's going to be. All the nations will be gathered, and they will be separated one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right side and the goats on His left. You know, whenever you're sorting cattle, you have a different pen. You gather them all up in one place and you bring them one at a time and you put them one direction. Usually first you bulls and heifers, and then maybe by size. You just keep narrowing them down until you get everything where it belongs. It's separating. One goes in this pen and one goes in this one. So that's what He's talking about, being a shepherd. That's how I'm going to separate human beings. That's how I'm going to, the judgment day, He's the separator. He's going to divide and put some in this camp and some in that camp. Then he goes on to explain here how he's going to do that. We have the idea, oh, I believe right, and so I belong in this camp. I belong over here in this pen because of what I believe. And so we think, because of what I believe, I'm going to be in this pen. And I'm going to be on the right-hand side because of the way I believe. And every group of people, every denomination has some little thing that tries to distinguish them so that they make sure they're in this camp. And people find an assurance and they comfort themselves not in loving the Lord and your neighbor as yourself, but they find comfort in, I belong because I have this identity that I belong in this camp for this reason. Many people are trusting in an experience. Oh, I know I've been born again. I know that I've been saved. And so they're trusting in that, and they teach some groups. I grew up in a church that everyone, you had to know you had an experience before you would be accepted. And when you had that experience, you were put in this camp. And they trusted in that. And that's where I think Jesus said, on the judgment day, another portion he talks about on that day, he says, many will say, Lord, Lord. And I will say, I don't know you. Many of the people that are in these camps or in these places or in these things that are assured and they found their comfort and their assurance and their faith and their trust because they belong in this camp or that are going to be the ones that are on the left side saying, Lord, Lord, what happened? I was positive that I belonged in this camp. I knew it. I didn't have any doubts about it. But that's not what's going to make the difference of which camp we belong in. That's not it. And that's the sad thing about people that are going to say, Lord, Lord. They're saying this out of complete shock. They thought they belonged on the right-hand side. And they said, Lord, Lord, you've made a big mistake. Can you imagine all of your life? How many of us like to be disappointed? How many of us love just to know that we're right and know we're doing something and then we're working towards something and then when it comes right down to it, we were all wrong and we just missed it. We make plans and we're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time and you're going to be there and maybe you're going to take a ticket. You've got a ticket to ride an airplane and you go and you make all your plans and you're just ready. Everything's on time. Your bags are packed and you get right there to the place where you're supposed to be and you hand them your ticket and they look at you and say, this is yesterday's ticket. You missed it. We're full today. You were supposed to be here yesterday. Can you imagine that disappointment? And that's what it's going to be when the people say, Lord, Lord. It's a desperate thing. It's desperation. Lord, Lord. You mean my ticket's no good? It's a fake ticket? It's a false ticket? I had my hope in something. I thought we were going to be divided this way. I mean, the different identities people have over their doctrines. And they think that God is going to look at them and say, okay, how did you believe this certain doctrine? Oh, you believe? Okay, you're over here this way. You mean you didn't believe it just that way? You're going to be over here. Sorry. That's the way people think that God's going to judge us. That's the way people believe. That's the way people are trusting that it's going to go. And it just goes on. Some people say, oh, do you believe you speak in tongues? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, you come over here. Oh, you don't believe you speak in tongues? Oh, sorry, you go over here. That's not how He's going to judge us. Oh, did you keep the Sabbath day? Are you a Sabbath keeper? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, you belong over here. You didn't? Oh, okay. Well, you belong over here. I'm sorry. You missed it. That's not how He's going to do it. And it just goes on, do you believe you can never lose your salvation? Yeah, okay, well, you come over here. Oh, you believe you can lose your salvation? Oh, you belong here. Or the opposite, depending on which church you're in. But they believe and they trust and they hope that because they've got their one little doctrine down pat, they go this way or they go that way. I mean, they have groups, they have little clubs now of one specific little teaching of Jesus even. There's divorce and remarriage clubs that their main focus is, oh, we believe in divorce and remarriage. And they meet and they have little meetings and they all talk together all about it. And they think that when they stand before God, we believed in divorce and remarriage. Oh, you go here because you believed that. Or you go there because you didn't believe it. That's not how it's going to happen. Jesus goes on to explain here. And He will put the sheep on His right hand, in verse 33, and His goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See how the division is? And those that are on the right, they're over here, and He says, come, you inherit the kingdom that's been promised. You have all the blessings of God. You're going to come and be with me. You are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what those on the right are looking for. Then he said, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, wait a minute. I believed everything just right. That isn't mentioned. I had perfect doctrine. I believed that the King James Bible was the only Bible. It's not mentioned. We dressed a certain way, and we all agreed as a church that that's the way it was supposed to be, and we all did that. It's not mentioned. Does that mean it's not important? No. We ought to obey and do what it says. Jesus said in the other, blessed is there that hear my words and my teachings. But there's people that are trusting because they're doing it, that is the reason they're going to be on the right hand side. They're trusting because I have all the bases covered that they're going to belong there on the right hand side. Jesus said, told it, he said, You've done all the right things, but you've left some of the things undone. We're supposed to do the right things. We're supposed to do the right things. But if we've left these other things undone, we've missed it. Yes, I believe women ought to dress modestly. Yes, I believe they ought to be covered. Yes, I believe in divorce and remarriage that is wrong. Yes, I believe that we shouldn't do a lot of all the things that Jesus taught and keep His teachings. But there's a lot of people that are going to think, I kept the teachings of Jesus. And that's where they're trusting in. But this is what He's saying is going to separate us. The sheep and the goats, sometimes they can look a lot alike. If you're not around them all the time, they can look the same. But someone that's in the business learns to discern them. And I think that's what the judgment day is going to be about. That's where it's going to be the hardest among those that have that appearance. And He's going to have to discern. And what's the difference here? What's going to distinguish those who've lost their first love and those who are rooted and grounded in it? Is it their assurance? Is it their confidence that they're going to be in heaven? Jesus said, I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was naked. I was sick. I was in prison. And You helped me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and give You something to drink? And when did we see You a stranger and invite You in, or naked and clothe You? When did we see You sick or in prison and come to You? See, somebody talked about humility this morning. These people said, when did we do that? They weren't expecting it. They weren't confident. We knew. That's why we were doing it, Lord. They didn't know. Lord, when did we see You there? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You did it to me. See, Jesus came in the flesh. He created flesh. He became in the flesh. He lived here in this world. Took on the body of a human being. Joined the human race as a brother to it. And when He sees us treating anyone of the human race, however we treat those is how we would treat Him. How we treat others is how we would treat Him if He was here. He didn't have a big stamp on His forehead and say, Jesus, I'm God. He didn't have a big sign carrying around saying, I'm Him, treat me good. Here I am. Right here. This is me. He came, born, rejected, neglected, lived His life just like everyone else when He was here. The Bible says He didn't stand out. He wasn't beautiful to look at. He just was here. And people treated Him just like they would treat anybody else. The disciples and those that followed Him they recognized something different. They loved. They had a difference. They just loved. And they took care of him. And they, you know, if somebody thought someone was Jesus, excuse me, if someone thought someone was Jesus, how would you treat them? How would you treat them? If we thought Jesus was over in town here, and we thought he was hungry, how many of you would say, "Oh, forget it. He'll be all right"? I would think that almost everybody in town, if they knew that Jesus was down on Broadway and was thirsty and hungry or sick, I don't believe you could even get to him. Because everybody would be there trying to help him. Everybody would be. McDonald's would be backed up. The grocery stores would be bare. Because everybody would be trying to get something to him. Because they would think, "I'm going to do this for Jesus." But look what Jesus said. Jesus said, "What you've done for the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Then he shall also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me, you accursed ones, into eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Lord, we didn't hear that you was in town, and thirsty, and drunk, and thirsty, and hungry. We didn't hear about it. We didn't ever know that you were there. Oh, if we'd have known it, we'd have been there." That's what they're going to say. That's what people are going to say. "I didn't see you. Why, if I would have known it was you, King, I would have fed you. I would have visited you. I would have took care of you. I would have helped you." Then he goes on to say, "Truly, I say unto you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. "Oh, but Lord, I believed you died for me. I believed you rose again. I believe you saved me. I believed you forgave me for my sins. Didn't even bring that up here, did he? Didn't even bring it up here." I think there's going to be a whole bunch of people over in this left, on the left, goats, that'll have all of those arguments. All of those things. "Lord, I was saved. Lord, I was baptized. Lord, I obeyed the church. Lord, I was a part of a church. I never missed church. Lord, I never missed giving tithes. Lord, I kept the Sabbath. Lord, I didn't eat any unclean things. Lord, I didn't do all kinds of things." Just a whole row of them. Mm-hmm. but you missed me. When did we miss you? You missed me every single day of your life. Because he's everywhere. How we treat others is how we treat ourselves, or how we treat the Lord. That's why when Jesus talks about wives, obey your husbands just like they were the Lord. Why? Why? Because how you treat your husband is just exactly how you would treat the Lord if he was here. That's just exactly how it is. You don't treat your husband any better than you treat the Lord. You don't treat your neighbor. You don't treat, however you're treating your neighbor, however you're treating your husband, however you're treating your parents, however treating anybody, any human being you're dealing with, is how you would treat the Lord. You're treating the Lord just like you treat every other human being. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. The stranger. Those that have needs. Those we come in contact with. That's what he's going to look at us. That's how he's going to see us. Look at how he did treated people. Look at him. Look at him. He helped everyone. He did good to anyone that would receive it. Those that wouldn't, those that fought him, hated him, he warned them. He tried to show them, your religion is worthless. You're missing it. It's foolishness. He tried to show them. Those that were in need needed help. He didn't miss them. How we treat those that are rejected, that are neglected, that are overlooked. That's how we're treating him. May the Lord add his blessings.
My God, I thank thee who has made me.
free.